This is the Nine with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Busy 9 o'clock hour as we get you to Rintoul and Sermon at 10. Playoff hockey all week. We're carrying both semifinal matchups of the Stanley Cup playoffs. That means tonight, indeed, it will be game two between the Islanders and Lightning at 6 o'clock. We'll chat some Euro 2020 with Tommy Wheeldon Jr. in about 10 minutes' time. Also, it is a Tuesday, which means our Speargrass Golf Show. We'll check in with Dale Goring as Canada's best amateurs will be in Calgary later this summer. We'll tell you about the new look DC Bank Glencoe Invitational. But right now, such a pleasure to be joined on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline by an Olympic gold medalist for our fine nation, Becky Scott. Becky, how are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you.
Lovely. Now, you, I've got a note from our I guess, common pal, Chris Dornan, that you had not met Ethan Bear, but you'd ended up chatting with Ethan Bear a few, I guess, weeks ago now. Tell us about how that came to be, and I guess a silver lining from a really tough situation for the young Oilers defenseman who was subjected to, I guess, some pretty hateful comments following the Oilers' departure in round one.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. You know, I am the CEO of a charitable organization called Spirit North, and our mission, you know, is empowering and inspiring Indigenous children and youth through sport and play. And we had been the recipient of an Oilers 50-50 draw evening about 6 weeks ago now. And obviously Ethan Bear had played in that game. And then in, you know, subsequent events, he suffered the racial, he was targeted, you know, with racial attacks, but then came out very publicly, you know, with a courageous statement standing up for that and equality in sport. So there was a really big outpouring of support for him, you know, publicly and privately. People were really, really getting behind Ethan and his stand and his courage. And then we, the organization Spirit North, started receiving donations as well. And we couldn't quite put it together initially. We hadn't connected the dots until we started seeing messages coming in with the donations that these funds were in honor of Ethan and support for Ethan and standing in solidarity with Ethan. So we just felt it was such a touching, inspiring story because out of something really dark and ugly, which is the racism that was directed at him, came this really beautiful, lovely outpouring of support for Indigenous youth as well in sport. So it's kind of a good out of bad story, obviously, but you know, with in alignment with the fundamental values of equality and fairness and opportunity for all when it comes to sport.
Man, it is so sad to think that that's still happening, and not that it ever should or would be okay, but that in 2021 we're still dealing with professional athletes dealing with racial abuse on social media following a team loss in a team sport. I mean, were you aware of that issue before you started seeing the huge donations? And you know, is that something that surprises you, or is that sadly too common today?
You know what? I was aware of it distantly. I don't follow hockey very closely, but I did see some of the headlines, and I had seen the message that Ethan's girlfriend had posted on social media that, you know, noting that he had received this treatment. Obviously, you know, working in the space that we do, which is really about equality and inclusion in sport, and elevating in particular the opportunities for Indigenous youth and children and youth through sport, this is just, you know, gut-wrenching for us. It just felt like such a huge step backwards. It's so, I mean, and it doesn't belong anywhere, of course. I mean, sport is one area where racism and discrimination is suffered, and it shouldn't be anywhere, and it shouldn't be by anyone, regardless if you're an NHL hockey player or not. It's not okay. It's totally unacceptable.
The outpouring you received in terms of donations unsolicited within that Game 4 loss when the Oilers were swept, that's the silver lining, and I'm so glad that you get to share the story of that. I guess when you'd figured out what had gone on, how did you not connect the dots, but connect with Ethan to share that? Because I was really happy that he and the Oilers didn't pretend it didn't happen and didn't not acknowledge it, but instead head on addressed it. And I think probably, you know, speaking to their fan base saying, hey, we have to hold each other accountable. This is not okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the response was totally appropriate and totally the right response. And, you know, and our first reaction when we started to receive the donations was that, well, first we need to tell Ethan, like we really, you know, I know that he had been aware, obviously, of the public stance that so many people and organizations had taken to support him and stand behind him. But I wanted to make him aware also of this private, you know, activity that was happening behind the scenes, which was people were quietly, you know, opening up their hearts and their wallets to support Indigenous youth in sport through Spirit North. So you mentioned our mutual friend, Chris Dornan. That was the first person I called to help me find Ethan. And, you know, we had, we connected with him and his partner and had a really great conversation just, you know, because I thought he needs to know this happened, and I wanted to share the news, which I felt was really a good news story with him, and so it was great. We had a great conversation.
And so you're the charity you work with, Spirit North, it you noted works in more than 62 communities across Canada. So these funds that come in, maybe share a little about how those funds go to work, and I'm sure that would have been inspiring for Ethan to know that him standing out helped, you know, fund some great causes around the country for Indigenous kids.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we spoke at length about our shared values of equality in sport. And, you know, I let him know that this, for a charitable organization like ours, particularly in the year that it has been with COVID, you know, fundraising has been hard. It's been nothing short of really challenging. And yet we need the dollars and we need those resources to keep programs running across the country. And the fact is demand for our programs has never been greater. It has actually never been higher because many people and communities are recognizing the detrimental mental health impacts of kids not being able to participate in sport. Like so much has been lost this year. And so much has been taken from kids and particularly kids in marginalized communities. So the importance of a program like Spirit North cannot be understated when we talk about not just physical health, but mental health and education and, you know, life skills and just growth and normal development. So, you know, it's the impact of the funds that we received, you know, were significant and we'll go straight back into programs that, you know, are land-based sport and activity like biking and canoeing and cross-country running and cross-country skiing and just getting kids outside and active again and participating and reaping all the great benefits and value that that has.
So I guess tell me how you got involved in the charity that does all that great work. Speaking of Spirit North, I mean, this is an incredible cause. Why was it near and dear to your heart? And tell us about the undertaking and how long it's been.
Yeah, so I had a career in sport myself for a long time. And when I retired, I was invited to become an ambassador for this little program in Northern Alberta that was running. And it was visiting Northern, you know, Alberta communities, primarily Indigenous, and putting kids on skis, you know. So I was invited to join as an ambassador in 2009. And, you know, at that point, began visiting First Nations and Métis communities. And it was a really eye-opening experience. You know, it was the first time that I saw firsthand the realities of life for Indigenous people, the inequality, and in particular the disparity of opportunity that existed for kids. See, like there was just so there was such a gap between what was available for non-Indigenous kids and what was available for Indigenous kids, and I was really troubled and very just disturbed by that, you know, particularly as someone who had lived out my own dreams and goals and had such amazing opportunities and doors opened for me as a result of my participation in sport. So shortly after that, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission report was published. And you know, the coverage around that and the report itself. I read it and I attended a summit, and, you know, in the 94 calls to action, sport was listed. And the whole experience really moved me and inspired me to act, to be part of reconciliation, to try to address some of the harms and damages that had been done, that kids were living with now. And so I started Spirit North, and really with no experience or expertise in running a nonprofit, but really with a vision of sport for development and sport that could be something more than just, you know, competition or Olympism or getting to the podium. It was sport for empowerment and sport for engagement and sport for life skills and education and building community and joy, you know, really giving kids who have some pretty heartbreaking stories and some pretty hard lives a moment of joy and the opportunity to experience, you know, skill building and the confidence that comes with that and all the great things that that accompany and are ancillary to sport participation. So I started it, you know, in 2017, and we've been going strong ever since. We started with four communities, really, in northern Alberta, and we're now in 62 across the country. The original sport was cross-country skiing, and we're now year-round in all kinds of different sports. You know, as I mentioned, mountain biking, canoeing, archery, equestrian, just the list goes on. And really, I think the most important element of the work that we do is that we work in partnerships and collaboration with communities. So everything we do is with communities and we walk alongside communities and really work together with communities to address the physical health challenges that children and youth have and overcome those barriers to helping them participate in sport.
Becky, it's incredible work. Thanks for sharing your story. Amazing that you and Ethan could connect and turn something that was pretty dark into a real positive that's going to help younger kids grow up and hopefully a more kind and understanding world with a little more equality out there. SpiritNorthXC.ca is the website. You guys have a Facebook page or on social media. Thanks for your time. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
There's Becky Scott, a Canadian Olympian cross-country skier with her work at Spirit North and how that all tied in to the unfortunate instance following the Oilers being swept in round one as Ethan Bear was subjected to some seriously negative racist comments and really stuff you wish you didn't have to talk about in 2021 at all, but certainly not gone and a real issue to be sure. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Euro 2020 update. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. will join us. Also, it is a Tuesday, which means Speargrass Golf Show. The top amateurs in the country coming to Calgary. Tell you when and where on the other side. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Back to the Nine with Ryan Pinder. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, big thank you to Becky Scott. Her story, an incredible one as well. Thought to be the bronze medalist in the Olympic Games in 2002 in Salt Lake City. The two skiers ahead of her both tested positive, and years later, finally awarded gold. I feel like that's, boy, you love the end result, but man, to not be have your anthem on the podium and all that. Anyway, wonderful, wonderful athlete, a great ambassador of sport in our country, and clearly still making waves in communities around the country. That is great to hear from her. Olympian in Nagano in 98, Salt Lake 02, and Turin in 2006. Okay, we're on the fly a little. We're trying to connect with Tommy Wheeldon Jr. here, who's got training, who has a lighter day of appointment television today with only two games in Euro. It'll be Hungary and Portugal, the reigning European champions, at 10 a.m. Then the last two World Cup champions in France and Germany squaring off at 1. Really good day in the group of death, Group F. It is the final match day 1. More from Tommy later, but right now it is time for the Speargrass Golf Show.
The Speargrass Golf Show, brought to you by Speargrass Golf Course, Calgary's most friendly and relaxed golf experience. Just 25 minutes southeast of Calgary. Book tee times at speargrass.ca.
Dale Goring joining us from the Glencoe Invitational. Dale, it is that time of year again. We're into summer, and it looks like we have a tournament to talk about this year. How are you?
I'm great, Ryan. How are you?
I am well. I've got golf lined up. I've got six rounds under my belt. Life is grand. How is your golf game these days? Are you getting out enough? I don't want to hear you're working too hard here.
Well, you know, I tell you, that is true. I am working a little too hard, but I'm super excited that the Invitational is happening this year.
So I think what will it be? Last year was not a go, obviously, with the pandemic. DC Bank came on as a sponsor, if I'm correct, the tournament prior. You're back, and remind us about what the platform that the Glencoe Invitational is, and I guess the mantra of the tournament is.
Well, yeah, I mean, this year is super exciting. I mean, we did have to cancel last year, but this is our 25th anniversary this year, so we're super excited about that. And of course, it was really 2020 when we announced that we were adding women's divisions, and so we've been able to do that this year, and we've got a total field of 54 playing. We've got men's amateur, female amateur, and female pro divisions.
So tell us about the caliber of the golfer here. We're more familiar with the men's side because it's the 25th running of the men's tournament, the inaugural version of the women's. But what type of player is showing up to face the daunting Glencoe Forest, which I will call the most difficult course in Alberta, and there'll be some debate, but I think it's right there. Who? What kind of a player is here?
Well, I tell you, we've got our best ever field assembled this year. We've got 29 out of 33 in the men's side that are all Wagger ranked, and that's the World Amateur Golf Ranking. So, yeah, we've never had that kind of field before. They're all coming from across Canada. We've got six different provinces represented. On the female side, we've got 15 female amateurs and seven professionals. So also well represented from across the country.
Now, tell me about including professionals on the women's side. It's typically that the men's side has only been an amateur tournament, if I'm correct. What is mixing the amateurs and the professionals do for the women's tournament in year one?
Well, yeah, and we've got a very unique format. We've got alternating men's, women's tee times. So, you know, really, we kind of adopted a bit of a concept that the Vic Open in Australia has, where they have men and women playing the same course at the same time. So that's the uniqueness. We're the only event in North America like ours. You know, you may have seen the Scandinavian Mixed last week on the Golf Channel. That was being covered. That was an inaugural event as well. But really, this is a very unique format and the first of its kind in North America.
Some notable champions of years past, Graham Dillette, Mackenzie Hughes, who both went on to great PGA careers. Mackenzie Hughes still in his, Graham battling those back issues that have plagued him throughout his career. Of note, the winner of the men's side will get an exemption for the final round of qualifying for the RBC Canadian Open and the Canadian Men's Amateur. This would be one of the top two or three amateur events in the country this summer? Is that fair to say for men?
Yeah, I mean, our ranking is really second in Canada on the men's side, only to the Canadian men's amateur itself, yeah.
Tell us about the course, and the event itself runs this weekend, June 17th to 19th. That has come up quick. Wow, this must be full on for you right now.
Well, it is, and honestly, we're just, I mean, we only received our Alberta Health Services approval to go ahead 3 weeks ago, so... You know, we had been preparing to go, but we have been developing a protocol and been working with the government and Alberta Health to try and lift the event. And like I say, we got the go-ahead as part of the Open for Summer program. So since that go-ahead, it's been a lot of communication with players and with sponsors and all the different stakeholders we have, but and we're very grateful for everybody who has really kind of pulled together to make it happen this week. And we've got players arriving today for practice rounds tomorrow, and then tournament starts 7 a.m. on Thursday morning.
I'm not a good golfer. I'm a mediocre golfer, but people always ask me what makes the Forest so hard. How would you describe the Championship 18 at the Glencoe that seems to give people fits?
Yeah, I mean, good question. I mean, the Forest was renovated in 2014, and we lengthened the course. I mean, from the back tees for the men, it'll play 7,505 yards. So it's got a slope rating of 144, which is the highest in the province currently.
Yeah, and just the best way I've heard it described is there's not a lot of places on the golf course where you stand over your ball and you feel comfortable. There's always seems to be trouble lurking, but at least that's where I hit the ball.
Yeah, that's true, and I'm finding more of those places more and more myself as well.
Yeah, fair enough. Last one for you. What do you know about fans and people? I know in the past you've welcomed people to come out and watch, but we are also, as you said, fresh out of new COVID regulations. What is a go and what isn't?
Yeah, so we do have some protocols that we have to adhere to. We've got limited spectators. So basically some family members that have traveled with the players are allowed to come and watch. Other than that, unfortunately, we can't open to the general public for this year. But, we are trying to do a big social media presence this year on our Twitter handle, which is @GlencoeInv. So please try and follow us there. We have our website at glencoeinvitational.com as well, where we're going to post all of our results and highlights. And we're going to try and bring the tournament to the people, since we can't really bring the people to the tournament.
Fair enough. Congrats on getting it off the ground this summer. Very excited about the first year of the women's event, the only event in the world with men's amateur, women's amateur, and professional divisions. And some of the best young Canadians will be in Calgary this weekend. Thanks for your time, Dale. All the best with the DC Glencoe Invitational this weekend.
Thanks very much, Ryan.
The Speargrass Golf Show, brought to you by Speargrass Golf Course, Calgary's most friendly and relaxed golf experience. Just 25 minutes southeast of Calgary. Book tee times at speargrass.ca.
Dale Goring there, Tommy Wilden here.
The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Finance your Infinity from 0% or get up to 14 grand in savings. Hyatt Infinity on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
You're scared, Tommy. It's Group of Death Day. You're terrified like the rest of us. You're sitting there like the Hungarians. We've got a European reigning champion, the last two World Cup champions. How are we supposed to do this today? That's what they're saying in the Hungarian locker room, right?
Well, they've got no expectations. So I think sometimes that's a bit of a good situation to be in, right? When you are the underdogs, you can play to that. I mean, you got nothing to lose, everything to gain. And what an experience, because if that's your three games at the Euros, and that's three big games. Great yardstick for where the nation wants to get back to. I mean, you know, Hungary's got a great history with the Ferenc Puskas era. And, maybe there's a new era amongst us that can take points and knock one of these big guns out. Wouldn't that be a great story?
So how in the world do the reigning European champions and the last two World Cup champions draw the same group? Give us a little background on Group F here.
I have no idea. This is a new format that I'm still trying to wrap my head around. It's an expanded format. You know, even with the six groups of four, you've got four of those groups that can have the best place third finish. And I think it was just to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the Euros and expanded format, more countries to host. So there was a little bit of, I think FIFA are trying to bring in more meaningful games like the Nations League, so that it's not just, club versus country row where players are being pulled to their country for a meaningless mid-season friendly. All of these games now matter. So in doing so, they've had to restructure the format of the qualifying process by making it a Nations League. And from there, that's where we've seen North Macedonia beat Germany in their qualifiers and qualify. So it's been interesting. And, Scotland winning their penalties to get here has created those moments that matter. And I think that's a great thing about these type of tournaments.
It is Portugal, Hungary at 10, then Germany, France at 1. Germany, France is the headliner of all the match day one games, the first qualifying matches. What is appealing about that afternoon matchup for you today with these two superpowers going head to head?
Well, it's going to be interesting how they play it, because is it a case of, right, they're going to go all out to win it? Are they going to go out like it's going to be a bit of a cagey chess match? Because I said, there's a bit of insurance knowing that if you're the third place qualifier, you get through. I mean, the winner of the England-Croatia Group D plays the second place in here. So I think there's an interesting look at the tables and formats and whether the countries are going, hey, do you know what, if we take points out of this one and manage our minutes, because that's going to be key in this tournament, because it's not how you start the race, but it's how you finish it. And I think France had a slow start in the World Cup, and they got stronger as it went on. And it was interesting because they used probably, often you look at, the most amount of runs, most amount of sprints. but they managed themselves at the World Cup and actually, you know, in Russia and probably conserved as much energy so that when they did hit with Mbappe and Griezmann and, you know, Pogba finding those rangy passes, they did it with explosion. So they're very, very clever, the French, as well as being deep. But every tournament you play in, I mean, Portugal, I think they're as strong as they ever have been, and they've always got the talisman in Ronaldo. We know that. But, you know, it's his peripheral with Diego Jota now at Liverpool. That's quality. You got some exciting young players on there. You know, Ruben Dias just won one of Premier League players of the season for what he did with Man City. So they're solid as well defensively. Patricio, the goalie that's at Wolves. And then when you look at the Germans, you can't rule them out because they've still got world-class players. And bringing in Thomas Müller or bringing back Thomas Müller is just a character that I think they cannot do without. And you've got, you know, Kimmich, who I think is one of the best passers of the ball. You've still got Toni Kroos that's, you know, still in his prime at Real Madrid. And even though Real Madrid didn't win La Liga or Champions League this year, everybody seems that as, you know, deems it as, you know, underperforming. Yet they're a couple of points off of Atletico Madrid in the end. So, you know, the Germans have got some good players, and we look at what Gundogan did for Man City this year as well. So, I'm going to look forward to that France-Germany game because I think it's going to be a tactical chess match, and I think there's going to be a lot of poker being played in these early games.
Yeah, if I have one small critique, and it's very early, and it's not how people feel about it 5 days in, it's how they're going to feel at the end, but there just doesn't feel like dire consequences in the qualifying round with four third-place teams getting through. But who knows? We'll see the show that France and Germany put on. If this is a 4-3 thriller or something, maybe it changes our tune.
Well, look at Spain-Sweden yesterday. I mean, when you look at the numbers, and Spain had, what, 86% possession and Sweden just 14% of it, you know, they almost did over 1,000 passes and, you know, they're finding the rhythm. You know, how many shots on target? I think there was about 6 or 7 shots on target. You know, Robin Olsen, who was at Everton this year on loan, he's made some incredible saves and you need that to stay in the tournament. But that's just one game. I don't think the Spanish will be sweating now going, oof, you know, we've got to qualify here. We've got to win the next one. They'll get better because they'll find their rhythm, they'll find their pace, they're going to starve teams of the ball, and, you know, chances will start converting.
Finally, it is a big day for our national men's team as they try to qualify for the World Cup in Qatar next summer. They're in round two qualifying. They got through round one with some really solid play against some minnows. It is a home and away leg with Haiti. They won the first leg in Port-au-Prince 1-0. They're hosting them in Chicago tonight with not being able to get into Canada with the travel restrictions in place due to the pandemic. Just thoughts on the men's national team and what lies ahead in Chicago tonight.
I think they did a great job down in Haiti. I mean, you could tell, like, they've got to go down there. It's not an easy place. And this is what, you know, Canada's always suffered with before is you've got to go down to your Panamas, your Haitis, your Costa Ricas, and even across the Caribbean. And the pitches aren't always great. The heat and the humidity zaps the energy out of you. So the pitch can be a level playing field. And you look how dynamic Canada is with Alphonso Davies, Jonathan David, Kyle Larin, you know, Richie Larea. They've got pace in abundance. So when you get a pitch that, you know, is a bit, it was a turf one, it seemed, and there was a lot of the black rubber crumb, it slows it down. So hopefully when they get to play their game tonight in Chicago, it opens it up a little bit more because the Haitians are physical, they're athletic, they play very, very direct, north to south very quickly. They're very combative. They're not afraid to leave their foot in, but they've got a bit of skill as well. So I think it's not an easy pushover. It should be a game that, with the talent that Canada has and the job that John Erdman and his staff has done, should be going through because it's, what, been 25 years since they've got to this final knockout round, the octagonal, where, you know, the best 8 of the region then get into a place to play in Qatar. And I think it's, you know, this is the strongest group we've had for a long time. So, you know, it's going to be a very good game, and what a way to hopefully get to that next stage.
There's been some heartbreaks on the way. Let's hope we're talking about breakthrough tomorrow, not the former. Thanks for your time, Tommy. Appreciate it. We will chat again tomorrow.
All right, no worries. Thanks, Ryan.
The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Finance your Infinity from 0% or get up to 14 grand in savings. Hyatt Infinity on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
A reminder, all your broadcasts you're hearing on this very airwaves do come from the iconic Electric and Controls Downtown Studios, our official studio sponsor in downtown Calgary. Burner Management, it's iconic. Follow them on Twitter at iconic.ec. We come back with the news of the day in the Pinder Report, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
I mean, how are you supposed to stop something you can't see coming?
Wednesday's best dramas.
Pull up your boots, boys. Time to go battle the beast.
On City TV.
It's nice having you as the chief.
Chicago Med.
You know, I can be a bit of a
hard ass.
Fire.
Get these victims out. Make sure everyone else is accounted for.
And PD.
Loyalty to protect and serve the good today.
Chicago Med. Fire and PD. All new episodes. Wednesdays on City TV. Or stream live and free at citytv.com.
I'm Colin Gingell from Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. My father passed a while ago, but his life lessons never left me. Say what you mean and do what you say. No excuses. If you didn't cook, you clean. My wife adores that one. Two powerful words are, thank you. He left us too soon, but growing up with a man full of integrity was the best gift he ever gave me. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Thank you to all the dads for being heroes.
Boomer in the Morning, weekday mornings with Ryan Pinder. The boys talk sports, food, life, and everything else. Lots of ways to listen. On the radio, of course, or online at sportsnet.ca/960. Stream the guys through the Sportsnet or Radio Player Canada app too. Text the show anytime at 960-960. Normal data rates may apply. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Boomer in the Morning, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Michener Allen Auctioneering announces its next three-day unreserved industrial internet simulcast auctions. Day one is Thursday, featuring Tritem, tandem, and single axles with box and hoists, diggers, fuel and water tanks, hydrovacs, man lifts, pickers, winches, and van bodies. Info at maauctions.com.
What are you making, hon?
Leek and artichoke soup with fresh thyme.
I love our Vitamix from TSC.
I love our new Dyson vacuum. I've never seen the house so clean.
No mess, no distractions. With my new HP laptop and Bose headphones, I can actually focus while I work from home.
The kids' iPad has been a huge help, too.
Oh, if they're busy with school, maybe I'll squeeze in a Bowflex workout.
Good thinking. You can try out those new Skechers.
Discover today's showstopper offers at today's shopping choice. Shop TSC.ca.
Serving all sports fans of Calgary and Southern Alberta, this is Sportsnet 960 The Fan. On your radio, streaming online, and through the Sportsnet mobile app. We are live 24-7 on your smart speaker. Play Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary. The 9 with Ryan Pinder continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Absolutely loaded with guests today. Thank you, Riley, for your work behind the scenes as we juggled Becky Scott, the Canadian Olympian, with her charity Spirit North and how they got intertwined with Ethan Bear following the social media nonsense after the Oilers were swept. It was Tommy Wheeldon Jr. and Euro Del Goring for the Speargrass Golf Show with the DC Bank Glencoe Invitational coming to Calgary this week. Players arriving today. A reminder, many of our guests who join us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, make it a great night. Choose from pizza and wings, pasta and seafood, or steaks and ribs. Order now through DoorDash or dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. I like the sound of that, Riley. Dine in.
Yes, sir.
Whew. Who's got some babysitters for me? Got to take, out for a dinner here. It's been too long. 9:42. I'll sort that out. You get the news of the day. It's the Pinder Report.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Yeah, round three, game one, wedding action from Sin City. The Jays had more Vladito heroics and another bullpen meltdown in the finale in Boston. The Blue Shirts have a new head coach, Dean. Let's start in the NHL from the Strip. Like a block off, kind of that little hallway between Hard Rock and what's the one? Is it Cosmopolitan next door? What is that?
Yeah, it's not the Hard Rock, but...
Not the Hard Rock either.
You have
New York. That's the one.
Yeah, New York, sorry. New York in the corner. That's right. And then you've got the old Monte Carlo, which is now Park MGM. And then you've got City Center with the Aria and Vidara. And then the Cosmo. And then, of course, the Bellagio on the corner. I've stayed at the Bellagio. It's a beautiful spot. They have the fountains there.
Right.
Then you go across the street and you got Caesar's Palace. Of course, it's kitty corner to Bally's.
In-N-Out's just tucked in around
the... It's on the other side of the freeway, but yeah.
Okay.
Delicious. Then you've got, of course, the classic Flamingo on that corner.
So when are you going to get to Vegas for the first time? That'd be exciting for you.
And the Mirage just north of Caesar's Palace. And then you got Treasure Island right there, which is kind of a dump, but they put some money into it. I guess it's okay. And then before long...
Dean?
You're talking about the Wynn. You got the Wynn and the Palazzo.
Dean? The Encore is part of the Wynn, right? Dean?
Encore is right there. I've stayed at the
it's
Encore.
It's not your fault.
Impressive.
It's not.
Smells so good. They have a plan
not
there.
Not your fault.
You can pick what pillows you want to sleep on.
It's not your fault.
The Encore.
I'm sorry. Soon, Dean. Soon. You'll be eating Asian fusion food in Vegas in no time, and the world will be back to normal. I promise you. Well, what a matchup, Dean. A franchise 112 years old and
no
4-year-old.
Not at all. Yeah. Mm.
Winner of the series gets the Clarence S. Campbell Bowl. It's the only thing the Habs have never won, Dean. Did you know that?
Clarence.
Yeah, it's a good handle. Clarence.
Clarence Campbell. Clarence Campbell. Clarence Campbell. Ooh, bleep. Clarence Campbell.
It goes to the Western Conference champions, but for this semifinal, apparently it's on the board. And before that, it was a divisional trophy, hence the Habs not winning it, not being in the West, nor the division it was given out since 1967 for. Golden Knights, they won it in their very first year of existence, because of course they did. First period, Vegas looks good at home.
Here's a face-off. Wayne scores! Shane Theodore with a blast! And the Golden Knights have struck first.
1-0 through 20. Let's go to the second period. More from Vegas defenders.
The penalty has come to an end. A couple of shots on that power play. Riley Smith in front. Jay Theodore doesn't take the shot. Scores! Alec Martinez does!
And how about the pump fake from Theodore on the Martinez goal that puts him up 2-0? Uh-oh! So, Dean, the game plan for the Habs is get a lead, protect it, and hopefully, like, drown and frustrate your opponent. How does that work when you're down 2?
Well, they hadn't played without the lead. They hadn't trailed or anything. 447 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
They don't do that.
But they would get on the board, Dean.
Yeah.
What a look for Cole Caulfield looking for his first Stanley Cup playoff goal. Suzuki in front. Bumped at the bullet. Caulfield scores. And there it is. His first Stanley Cup playoff goal is a power play marker and gets the Canadiens on the board.
There we go. Now we got a game, Dean. Yes. Come on, Habs. Let's go. Oh, dear. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Play the clip. No, no, no.
In the Stanley Cup playoffs since Seku Koivu in 2008 scores. Tipped in front of the net on a great feed. Matthias Janmark gets it back for Vegas.
Yeah, just 53 seconds later. That was, that's the oof right there, Dean. Made it 3-1. It was 4-1. Really was not much in doubt beyond that. Habs will need to be better on Wednesday if they're looking for that split, and they are now. Marc-Andre Fleury's 90th playoff win. 2 back of Grant Fuhr. Former Flame. Forever a Flame, Grant Fuhr, right?
Fuhr's a Flame great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I will remember him anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Leaf,
and
Blue.
Really good golfer. I can't remember anything else about him. That he played for the Flames and he was a good golfer. Yeah. Still is a good golfer.
Great guy, too. Just sweet guy.
Yeah. Sweet Grant. NHL news yesterday. We have other things beyond just last
Are you done?
Last
you don't
game.
Want to talk anymore about that series? Like when it continues or...
It's every other night for the rest of the series.
Okay.
Until the series is over and until it's... canceled, it's not canceled, so obviously it's not canceled.
Got
I'm
it.
Optimistic that do you have any thoughts on last night's game, Dean?
I'm here's what it is. I'm happy that we'll get at least maybe 24 to 48 hours reprieve on the Carey Price greatest goalie ever parade of stories. We can maybe just kind of pump the brakes on that a little bit.
Now, should we fire up the Marc-Andre Fleury greatest goalie ever vignettes, or is it too soon for that one?
Boy, I don't know. He doesn't play for Montreal, you see.
Mm.
Who? There'll be some Cole Caulfield stories. We'll get Sean McKenzie to work
goal.
On that. Yeah. Goal Caulfield.
Mm-hmm. J.J. Watt, very happy for goal.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Large man.
Yeah, he's great.
He could eat Cole Caulfield. Instead, he's cheering for him.
Why would he eat Cole Caulfield?
Well, you know, like if they got in a plane accident in the Andes.
Oh, jeez.
Needed to.
You know what? I can't believe I stopped you to go back to this.
Okay, let's move along. NHL news yesterday. Gerard Gallant, Dean, new head coach of the New York Rangers.
Whoa.
57-year-old from Summerside, PEI. Apparently, they called him Spuddy when he played in the league because I think they have potatoes. And
I thought they called him
Turk. I did not realize that. Did you realize that?
No, I did not realize that.
Yeah, Spuddy.
Spuddy.
Yeah, oh well.
We should have used that nickname when we chatted with him on Friday after he coached Canada to gold at the World Championships in Latvia.
I'm happy. New York City is in the east, and Seattle is a long way from the, but that's also kind of, I feel like, you know, wherever we see you, I wonder if maybe it's the ocean life might be in your future, perhaps, Gerard.
I have no idea. You know what? I mean, it's been out there that I've talked to some teams, and that's obviously true, but you know what? I'm just waiting and seeing what happens, and hopefully I get a call in the very near future and say, you know what, we'd like to offer you a contract, but then until that happens, you know, I'm still an unemployed coach and ready to work for somebody.
He's no longer an unemployed coach, Dean.
Got a good gig there.
You think?
I like it. I like him. I like the spot for him. I have no real reason to cheer for the Rangers other than I like New York and Madison Square Garden's fun place to watch a game. And maybe the league's better when they're a good team, but I hope it works out for him.
Yeah, he inherits a team with Artemi Panarin, Adam Fox, Mika Zibanejad, a number one and number two overall pick from the last two drafts. It's going to be okay, right?
Yeah, goaltending with things seems like it's going to be all right. Decent team.
He's fired in Vegas in January of 2020. And this will indeed be his fourth stop as a head coach in the NHL. Columbus, he took over for Doug McLean, who's Rupker. And then in the Panthers organization from 14 to 16. So there you go. He back.
Going crush thin crust and deli sandwiches, like cheesecake like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
Mix in some sit-ups there, Gerard. You might need it. Good grub.
Yeah, and hope you save your nickels. Rent's a little higher there than
it can be.
Some of the places.
Columbus.
Summerside, PEI. Either way, awesome. Good guy. Back in the biz. Love it. Tonight, we have the Islanders and Lightning, Dean.
Boy, oh boy.
How many has he done like that?
Just terrible.
Two of them.
And what a move he made. What kind of a pass was that?
Yeah, Espo's back, baby. First game one loss for the Tampa Bay Lightning since the Stanley Cup Final, Dean, where they fell behind the Dallas Stars 1-0 in the series. They rallied with three straight in that series, 1-6. Tampa hasn't lost two in a row at home since they were swept by Columbus 2 years ago. Islanders are actually the highest scoring team left in the playoffs, Dean. Do you believe that?
What?
It's not really what we tell people when we talk about the Islanders on the radio. And also, they've allowed the most goals of the four teams remaining.
What? Yeah.
And watch out for that Tampa power play, Dean. 42% this postseason. So.
Go Islanders!
It's the Saints, not the Islanders. Remember.
Right.
Yeah.
Go Saints, go.
Do you have any thoughts on this series? I'd hate to cut you off because your comments on the Golden Knights and Habs, it would feel incomplete if we didn't have them.
No, I have nothing to say based on how the last time I jumped in worked.
Okay, let's go.
Steam right ahead.
Let's go, rubber.
Yeah, some notes in Jays land before the game yesterday. Vlad Guerrero Jr. May have heard of him, Dean. Leading the American League in all-star voting.
That's good.
Steven Matz, COVID list, had an inconclusive test while they figured out the test. He does indeed have COVID-19.
That's bad.
But he's symptom-free, and the rest of the team is tested negative, Dean.
That's good.
But they still need to find a starter for Thursday in Buffalo against the Yankees.
That's bad.
And George Springer set to start his rehab stint in AAA today. I don't know if this is good or bad. Can you help me? Is this good or bad that George Springer is now going to play at AAA Trenton ready to maybe not get hurt again and rejoin the Jays, please?
Don't stub your toe coming out of the dugout or anything, you hurt bag.
Yeah, that sounds bad. Can we do that's bad?
That's bad.
Yeah,
okay. The finale against the Boston Red Sox, a four-game set in Fenway. Good pitching duel. Alec Manoah and Nathan Eovaldi were dealing, Dean. Manoah, six innings, just four hits. Allowed one earned run that probably could have been prevented with, you know, passable defense. No errors, though. And Eovaldi, 6 2/3, no earned runs, just 3 hits. Just the same two teams that put up, 22 runs the other day? Weird. Let's pick things up. Top 9, Jays down 1-0. Matt Barnes, one of the best closers in baseball, looking for his 15th saves. 2 outs, Vladdy at the dish.
Breaking ball hit high and deep to left field. Tie game! The best hitter on the planet right now has done it again, and it's a brand new ball game at Fenway.
Dan Shulman, national treasure.
He's so good.
He really is.
He's not even in the building. He's sitting in Toronto in a enclosed like little capsule that he's in, and
dank
still
studio. Yeah,
is hitting the notes. He's so good.
He's awesome. We've suffered through some mediocre broadcasters on various phases of different teams in this nation.
And
Dan
this
Shulman
station
doing the Jays, unbelievable. I would never say that. That would be crazy.
And we continue to suffer in.
Is that right?
I mean, I'm
Do
here.
Do you
want
to elaborate on that?
I'm here every day. The suffering continues. God.
Yeah, I thought we were talking about play-by-play. That
No,
come on, Dean. Jeez, that tied the game at 1. All right, now to the bottom of the 9th. Perfect. Just give the ball to the Jays. Bullpen.
He's... Oh, no! No!
He was safe at
no!
first.
No! No!
Yeah.
Yeah, more sketchy defense, and then Devers at the dish.
Pitch on the way. Fastball sent to center field. Well hit off the wall. Rounding third, heading home Verdugo, and the Red Sox will win it.
Yeah, the gloves didn't help last night. Biggio, Gurriel Jr., Simeon, all with plays they'd want back. There's also Charlie Montoyo not using his best closer to try to get to extras, which is a hot-button item. I don't know. I think the bigger issue than him picking Dolis over Romano is the fact that he doesn't have better options to pick from between Castro, Dolis, and Romano. Where's the Merriweather? Where's the Phelps? Where's the Baruch? Where's the Yates? Yeah, there's just not enough guys you'd want throwing a baseball in a 1-1 game, Dean.
Well, you would have liked
Charlie's
it.
Charlie's not helping himself either.
I guess so, right? But you had 20 hits on Sunday. You pounded out 8 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Your starter, regardless of what Dolis did or who you utilized in those spots, and Biggio with, 3 plays he wants back, you gave up 2 runs.
Yep.
Should win
and
that.
Imagine mashing 50 hits, 31 runs, and 16 home runs in a series and settling for a split.
Because what did they get? They had 4 hits on the night?
Yes.
Is that what
that
they
got
ended
them
up
to
with?
50 on the series.
Yeah. It's not.
That's ridiculous. Well, 98 games to go, Dean. No big deal. Yankees and Buffalo, they'll play the Jays. 3-game set starting tonight, 5 o'clock on Sportsnet 1. Hyunjin Ryu will take his 3.34 ERA against Jordan Montgomery with his 3.99 ERA. By the way, Montgomery started twice at Salem Field last year in Buffalo. Yankees lost both of those games, and Ryu's been very tidy against the Yankees in 2 starts against them this year. Jays 6-3 against the pinstripes so far. Yankees just 4-7 in June. They've had a rough go of late coming off a 2-game set in Philly where they dropped both. Okay. You okay with your Yankees? You worried what's happening here?
No, they're garbage right now. They've lost 4 in a row. No good. Other than that,
Buffalo either, right? Those fancy pants have to go to some working man city.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I mean, you think Giancarlo's going for some wings after the game? No chance.
Rolling up his sleeves, just getting sauce all over. No.
He's like you, right?
Too fancy
for
that.
Very fancy.
He's
very frou-frou.
Fine Dijon mustard.
That's right.
Yeah, cold cuts. Mm-hmm.
You think I'm going to a Dairy Queen? Pfft, no chance.
Please. NBA playoffs, let's go. Boom, shakalaka. Clippers beat the Jazz 118-104. Kawhi and Paul George each scored 31 points in the victory. Ties the series at 2. We got a good one there. Another good one here. The Hawks even their series with the 76ers. 103-100 win. Trae Young got hot late. The 76ers blew an 18-point lead, Dean. And Joel Embiid 0-12 in the second half. Oh, dear.
I watched some of this game yesterday. I was very sportsy yesterday.
I heard
you
this in the
proud.
5:30. I wanted to take your temperature and make sure everything was okay. Tonight, Nets host the Bucks. No Irving. No Harden. Yeah, it's all on Durant now, Dean. This is not ideal. You build a big three to have all three in the playoffs, right? Not just one of the three left?
That's right. It's a lot to ask of Darian Durant to come through and carry all that weight.
Well, if he can bring a Grey Cup back to Regina, he can do this too, I hope.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, it was in Regina, though, didn't he? So he didn't have
It was a big one. There. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get Riley
But more
going.
Important than any of everything we've mentioned so far in the NBA segment of this program is that Charles Barkley and the TNT panel remains the best thing on television.
I want to give a shout out to a guy. He's a Georgia Bulldog. Hey, his name is Matt Powell. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I lost my wallet today, Ernie. And Matt Powell, P-Y-L-E-S, I'm hoping I'm saying his name right, he returned it.
Yeah.
He got in touch with TNT and gave me my wallet back. And that was really awesome. I lost it at Chipotle. Yeah. And I didn't even know it.
Charles Barkley left his wallet at Chipotle.
What do you think the order is there at for Chuck?
So two of those at Chipotle-sized burritos, please. With everything. Double meat.
I love Charles Barkley.
Extra guacamole. Yes, I know it's a dollar more.
It's so great.
Oh, he's so good. Euro 2020.
Fast
yesterday.
Kicking, low scoring, and ties. You bet.
Yes, we saw the Czech Republic win 2-0 over Scotland yesterday. That shame for the Scots, boy. They
if it's no Scottish, it's crap!
Slovakia, Poland saw the Slovakians win that one, 2-1. And Spain, Sweden, draws, 0-0. That's not what we had in the...
I watched...
Boring. Yeah. You're boring, everybody. Quit boring, everyone.
I watched some of this. The Swedes...
Plucky.
Doing a lot of flopping around on the old pitch, I noticed.
Have you ever ran 10 kilometers and had people run into you when you do that?
It's very weird.
But yeah, they're a little floppy.
A little
like
floppy.
Herring.
Yeah.
Like herring popped out of the sea. Today, 10 a.m., Portugal-Hungary. Portugal, the most clearly the reigning European champions, 2016. Hungary's only qualified for the tournament four times. And at 1 p.m., a cracker, as Tommy would say. Germany-France, Battle of the Titans. While they're tied first and second in terms of total Euro titles, one with three and two, respectively. France won the World Cup in 2018. Germany won it in 2014. Five of the last six World Cup finals have had one of France or Germany competing. Group of death, indeed. Good luck, Hungary.
This guy here is dead.
And our final note of the morning goes to the CFL.
Long-ass field.
Where, yes, yesterday morning, the CFL's Board of Governors bravely, unanimously voted on a 14-game regular season. Congratulations in order for all involved for not shutting down for a second straight year, I think. Season will start August 5th. And the 108th Grey Cup will go December 12th in Hamilton.
It's so CFL-y.
That is your Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Stop doing stupid stuff.